بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, as we are all away from the beginning of the month of Ramadan, we have seen a great increase in our ibadat, our a'mal. A person walks into the masjid and we see different types of a'mal taking place. Someone is making Quran tilawat, someone is engaged in salah, someone is making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's khidmat taking place. People are assisting one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts whatever we have done thus far. Allah grant us istiqamat, steadfastness. Allah give us the tawfiq to increase our ibadat. But one very important point ulama ikram explain is that one is a person does these a'mal, he makes ibadat as a duty, as an obligation. It's my responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one is that a person does these a'mal, he carries out his ibadat with muhabbat, with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the husband and wife also. A husband and wife married for many years, and they're fulfilling the rights of one another. The husband is doing what he needs to do for the wife, the wife is doing what she needs to do for the husband. But they're doing it as a duty, as an obligation, that it's my responsibility. So the husband knows I've got to take care of the rent, of the lights, the water. I've got to see to the expenses of the home, the children, the wife. But this is my duty, it's my obligation. A wife also, she knows I've got to do certain things for my husband. But this is my duty, my obligation towards him. And one is that couple where they are fulfilling the rights of one another out of love and muhabbat. That the husband thinks to himself, what hasn't my wife sacrificed and done for me? That she left the home of her parents where she grew up for 20 years. She didn't know anything besides that place, that town. And she gave it all up and she came to live in my home. I was a stranger to her. And then she gave up her time, and she gave up her hobbies and her likes and everything else. And she gave up her body also to bear my children. So much that she has done for me and given up for me out of the muhabbat and love for her, I'll do for her. And the wife also, she understands that my husband has given me so much. He does so much for our children, how he takes care of me. He goes out and he works, whether it's summer, whether it's winter, whether he's sick or not, he goes out. Just so that we can have food on the table, out of muhabbat and love, she says, I'll do for my husband. That house becomes different. That marriage is different. The taste of that marriage is different. In the same way, ulama explained when it comes to our ibadat, when it comes to these a'mal that we are engaging in. One is where a person does it as a duty, the other is a person does it out of muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what hasn't my Allah given me? Every bounty, every blessing, every breath I take is a ni'mat from Allah. Allah has given it to me, how can I not do that which pleases Allah? And a person reads salah also, I'm doing it because it makes my Allah happy. When I take the name of Allah, it makes my Allah happy. When I give sadaqah and charity, it makes Allah happy. I protect my gaze, it makes Allah happy. Then we'll find the flavor is different, the taste of the ibadat is different. And then ulama say, not only will our ibadat, our a'mal become easy, it will become enjoyable also. I know my own condition outside of the month of Ramadan. Now in Ramadan, perhaps the environment is there. People are in the masjid, people are performing salah, Quran tilawat is taking place. People are waking up for sehri. So it becomes a bit easier for me to do good a'mal. But my own condition outside the month of Ramadan, what a struggle it is to open Quran Sharif. Just to make it for fard salah on time is so difficult. But when a person does his a'mal, he makes ibadat with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the muhabbat, the ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will become enjoyable. Now the two rakats of salah is pleasurable to him. He doesn't want it to end. The Quran tilawat is so enjoyable. Every amal he does, abstaining from guna and sin, becomes enjoyable. So this is a very important aspect when it comes to our ibadat, when it comes to our amal. We find the example is given also of that newly married couple. The husband has to go away on some business trip. He's gone to some foreign destination far away from home. And he reaches there, he checks into his hotel. At night he becomes hungry, he's looking for something to eat. So he opens his suitcase, he sees there's a slab of chocolate. He bought it from the airport, the duty free. So he opens the chocolate, he begins to eat, but the taste is not there. He's all alone, some foreign country. His wife is not with him. And then he looks through his bag and he sees, hidden beneath the clothes, there's another slab of chocolate. And he picks it up, he can smell that scent is there. That this one came from my beloved. And then he sees that handwritten note from his wife. That I know this is your favorite flavor. And I wish I was there to share it with you. Now when he eats that chocolate, the taste is different. The flavor is different, how he'll enjoy it, how he'll relish every bite. Why? Because the muhabbat is different. That link is there, the connection is there. This has come from my beloved. So likewise, when it comes to our ibadat, when there is that link, that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how the ibadat will be, how the salah will be, how the Quran tilawat will be. Of course, the question, respected brothers and elders, is how do I bring this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into my life? What we hear the mashayikh and the pious people speaking about, and this is an abstract concept to myself, that what is the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ma'rifat of Allah, recognition of Allah. We hear these terms being mentioned over and over again. How do I bring this within my life? How do I get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So here ulama explain that generally there are two methods and ways for a person to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the qudrat of Allah, not the norm. Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha. In the words of Quran, Allah will select, Allah will choose, Allah will bring close those who He wishes. Allah decides who He wants to bring close to Him. This is the qudrat of Allah. Like how a person will see where and where this person was, how his life was coming out, what evil he was involved in, and overnight some winds of hidayah blew over him, and now he's in the first saf in the masjid. We don't know what happened. You say, kisi ki dua lag gayi. Someone's dua fell upon him. Maybe his mother was crying in the dead of night making dua for him. His grandmother was crying for him. So Allah chooses, Allah selects. This is not within our control. Like how one person, he gave his car guzari, his report, he says, that I was an alcoholic. I was addicted to the bottle, I couldn't give it up. So he says, one Sunday morning, I was sitting in my backyard. I had no t-shirt on also, playing with some cards with a group of friends. In that intoxicated state of mind, the entire Saturday night had been spent drinking. And he says, there's a knock on the door. Somebody goes to see, some jamaat has come. So they open, let the jamaat in, and they begin speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the favors of Allah, about salah, about Quran, about a'mal. And then one person poses the question to him. He says, why don't you join us? Come back to the masjid with us. There's some program will take place in the masjid. So he says, in that drunken state of mind, I felt ashamed to say no. So I went in the house, I cleaned up, washed my face, found one kurta, put it on, and I went with them. He says, as I'm walking, I'm thinking to myself, what did I get myself into? What state am I in? How am I going to go to the house of Allah? But he says, when I entered the masjid, the noor, the barakat of the masjid, the environment of the masjid, he says, something hit my heart. I can't explain where it came from. And then and there, I made the decision that I'm going to change my life. I'm going to give up my guna and sin. So he says, within a few months, I made some plan. I left the house that I was staying in. I found a house next to the masjid. Now every salah was in the masjid. The same person today, alhamdulillah, all his sons are hafizul Quran. When Allah wants to choose someone, how Allah will send His VIP shuttle service, will come and pick that person up, the person can't get off after that. So Allah, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi may yasha, Allah will choose, Allah will select. This is the qudrat of Allah, this is not within our control. And then ulama say the second method, the second way, وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيدُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide, will select, will choose those people who will turn to Him, who will make an effort, who will put themselves forward and try and get the rahmat and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will take pity upon them, Allah will select and choose them. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيدُ. This is within our control, respected brothers and elders. How much of an effort we make, how much we put ourselves forward. And Allah has given us, my Shaykh Mufti Yusuf Desai Sahib, Daum Barakatuhum says, Allah has created within each and every one of us that ability, the capacity to become the friend of Allah. To get the muhabbat, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we haven't given ourselves the chance. We haven't put ourselves forward. Person says, I don't want to give up my life of guna and sin. I know how sweet it is, how enjoyable it is, I can't give it up. So he says, we haven't put ourselves forward. We just have to put ourselves forward. Then the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who will take one step to Allah, Allah says, أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَةً. He comes walking to me, I'll come running to him. He'll come one hand span to me, I'll come one arm span close to him. Why? Because he made that effort, he put himself forward. He did something to show his talab and his desire, that he wants my friendship, he wants my closeness. So when it comes to the closeness, the muhabbat, the ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ulama explained And we mentioned this before also, that as a person does guna and sin, then the Hadith Sharif teaches us that a black dot appears on the heart. Each guna a person commits, each time he abuses his gaze, abuses his ears, abuses his hands, his feet, his mind, he does something against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a black dot appears on the heart. We can imagine my own heart, what color it must be right now. For a person to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart has to be cleaned out. It has to be purified. If a person has a dirty container, a dirty glass, someone brings a bottle of Zamzam, he comes back from Makkah Mukarramah, he went for Umrah. And how difficult it was to bring that Zamzam, he had to carry it 5 liters, 10 liters. And then he had to come through the customs, and there he got some hassle from the authorities, he had to pay something also. Finally he brings that bottle of Zamzam, with great difficulty he brings it home. And now he's ready to pour that Zamzam, and you bring one dirty cup, dirty container. There's hay inside, there's dirt inside. He'll say, "Bhai, please go and get a clean glass so I can, the Zamzam, do you know how valuable it is?" Likewise, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the recognition of Allah is valuable. It cannot go into a heart that is dirty, that is contaminated. So ulama explained the first step in this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who is seeking the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closeness of Allah, we will have to make an effort to clean our hearts. Like the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that the heart also becomes rusty. Just as steel becomes rusty, and we know living on the coast, a person doesn't treat the gate of his, the front gate, how quickly the rust will come. So the heart also becomes rusty. What do we do to cleanse and purify our heart? So the first step ulama ikram explained is that a person has to make an effort to avoid guna and sin. The disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all costs. That I have to make every effort not to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned this also the other night. Even if a person doesn't do abundant nafil, he's sufficing on his fard salah, he's paying his zakat on time, he's fasting in the month of Ramadan, if hajj is fard, then he goes for hajj. But he abstains from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very quickly Allah will allow him to reach him. Like the hadith, the very famous hadith, when Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam speaks about halal and haram. Ala wa inna li kulli malikin himan. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, every king, every leader has that area which is a no-go zone. That pasture, that garden which is reserved for him. Nobody is allowed to trespass. Ala wa inna hima Allahi maharimuhu. That no-go zone of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his maharim. What Allah has made haram upon us. A person will trespass, a person will go beyond that, break the fence and go into that pasture, into that garden. Now he is treading on thin ice. So when he comes to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. That, oh Allah, don't disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. That day when my wealth, my children, my investments, my properties, my portfolio won't help me. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except that person who will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sound heart, a pure and clean heart. Then he will get the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So when it comes to avoiding guna and sin, respected brothers and elders, just a few guidelines which will make it easy for us, inshallah. We know the temptation is there. And this will continue till our last breath. Don't for one second think that I'll become pious, I'll come closer to Allah, and all my desires will disappear. No. Ulama explained, the mashayikh, the pious people, the desires get stronger. Because they are on that level closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the desires will remain, temptation will remain. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a person the courage to avoid guna and sin. Because he made some effort. Like how Mu'anayim Sahib Dham Barakatuhum gives the example. Person makes an effort, he has the intention. That I'm going to give up guna and sin. But the temptation is so strong, that desire is there. Person says, it completely floors me. I can't do anything. And he sees that beautiful woman standing across the road. And despite his best efforts, he lifts his gaze. He wants to look at her. But because he had the correct intention, because he has been making an effort, he wants to look, and Allah sends that bus to cross the road. The bus goes in front and it stops. It blocks his view. Now he can't see. How agitated he becomes. The bus driver must just move quickly. Finally, the bus moves, and that woman is gone, disappeared. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it? Allah made a plan for him. Because he made an effort. Because his intention was correct and clear. He didn't want to abstain. He wanted to get involved in the guna and sin. But Allah made it happen for him. So when it comes to avoiding guna and sin, the first step ulama ikram explained is that when that temptation comes, when that desire comes, and shaitan has promised from the time when he was kicked out of Jannah, he promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ Oh Allah, I will make every effort within my capability to misguide them. زَيَّنَ لَهُمْ سَوَّلَ لَهُمْ Quran mentions over and over again. Shaitan will make evil seem good to them. He'll beautify it. He'll trivialize it. That it's just one gaze. Where is going to harm me? I'll make tawbah afterwards. Or it's just one tablet, one pill, one sip, one transaction, interest-bearing transaction. One time I'll break the command of Allah, after that I'll make tawbah, I'll give it up. How shaitan will trivialize it? Ulama say the first step, or the first meditation a person can make, when the desire comes, is ponder over the temporary nature of that enjoyment. That the guna and sin I'm going to get involved in, how long is it going to last for? Like one person came to Hazrat Thanwi rahmatullah alayh. So he says to him, Hazrat, I just can't protect my gaze. No matter what I do, I'm making so much of an effort, but it's impossible for me, I can't protect it. So Hazrat Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi asked him, he says, that tell me, when you abuse your gaze, when you look at that woman, if you had to protect your gaze, if you had to look away, then that feeling, that pain that goes through your heart, how long does it last for? So he says, for a few hours I think about it. That I had that opportunity, I could have looked. What I missed out on. So he says, for a few hours that pain is there within my heart and then it goes away. So then he says to him, if you do abuse your gaze and you look, and then you realize that whatever I saw, she belongs to someone else. She's somebody else's wife. I can't further this with her. I don't know if I'll see her again. Now that pain that goes through your heart, how long is it there for? He says, Hazrat, for a few days it's there. I keep on thinking that woman I saw. If only I could see her again, if only our paths cross. So he says, now you, O foolish person, think. Which pain is easier to bear? The pain of a few days, you know, you can't have her. You can't do that haram. You can't further it. Or that little bit pain when you protect your gaze, you look down. So a person should ponder over the temporary nature. That enjoyment is going to be short-lived. A person drinks also alcohol. A person is addicted to drugs. For how long is that high going to last? He knows the morning afterwards, he wakes up with a hangover. How terrible he feels. That regret, that remorse. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to sacrifice the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bounties and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for some temporary enjoyment? On the day of Qiyamah, it's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the question to insan. That, O insan, kam labithtum fil ardi adada sinin. How many years did you live in dunya? How long was your life in this world? So the answer will come, labithna yawman o ba'da yawm. That, O Allah, we lived for one day or a portion of a day. It was just one morning or one evening. In comparison to the time spent in the qabr, and then the day of qiyamah, ka alfi sanatin mimma ta'uddun. According to one verse, the duration of 1,000 years, the day of Qiyamah will be. So he'll say, O Allah, my life in this world was one day or a portion of a day. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi would say, that when a person is faced with some temptation to commit guna and sin, then he must address himself by name, and say, O Fahim, Jannat is 2 minutes away. Jannat is just 2 minutes away. Zara sabar karo, just make a little bit of sabar. Just hold on a little bit, and you'll reach your destination, you'll reach the gardens of Jannat and the promised bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but don't throw it away right now. And the other example he would give is that a person has a spring, or a trampoline. We see children jumping on the trampoline. So he says that for the child to be thrown high into the air, he has to first press down. So in the same way, he says, for a person to be elevated in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his rank and position to be high in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will have to crush himself. He will have to crush his nafs, his desires. That the nafs has become so strong, I will have to weaken it. How? When the temptation comes, I abstain. I abstain. Continue to abstain. The temptation will continue to come. Shaitan will try his best. But I will continue. I will fight back. The day will come where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also pull a person up to him. So the first guideline ulama explained is that a person must remind himself, think of the temporary nature of dunya, that this guna and sin, the enjoyment is going to be for a short while. And after that, that regret, the remorse, I lost out on all the barakat of the month of Ramadan now. Whatever I have attained throughout this month, I'm going to just throw it away like that. Then secondly, ulama ikram explained, is that a person must ponder over the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find so many verses of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the punishment of Jahannam. And we know in this world, respected brothers and elders also, a person is spending an evening with his family, the bride stand is there, the fire is lit, and you stand too close to the bride stand, how the eyes begin to water. And the skin begins to burn. A person says, I can't handle it, somebody else, please take over. This fire is too hot. It's too hot to even put the meat on right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran speaks about the incident of the munafiqeen. When they didn't go with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam into the battlefield, and the command was fard, that it was fard to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they stayed back. فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ بِمَقَعَدِهِمْ خِلَافَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Allah says they were happy to stay back. وَكَرِهُوا أَن يُجَاهِدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ They disliked going out. They didn't want to spend their wealth and their lives in the path of Allah. وَقَالُوا And then they said to one another, لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ They don't, why you want to go out in these adverse conditions? Look at the heat. And the person who has been for Umrah, he knows the heat of Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara. Person is walking for Zahar Salah also, the shade can't come quickly enough. So they said, لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ Don't go out in this heat. How beautifully, how simply Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّا The fire of Jahannam is hotter than this. The fire of Jahannam is hotter. You're prepared to break the command of Allah right now. Are you prepared to face the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you prepared to go into the fire of Jahannam? How will you manage that punishment? Ulama explain, a person is sleeping at night in a cool air-conditioned room, soft bed, soft pillow. He's got his wife next to him. And just one fly, one mosquito has to get into the room. And how it breaks a person's sleep. That one fly, tiny insect like that, the entire sleep is gone. And now he's swatting that fly away. Then he puts the light on. Where is it? He's trying to catch it. Why? Because I can't get my sleep with this one insect in the room. Allah protect, Allah save us. What will be our condition when there's snakes and scorpions in the qabr? When one fly broke our sleep, how will a person be able to manage that? So he says, when a person wants to break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then ponder over the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will I bear it? How will I manage it? Rather, I put myself through some difficulty right now. I say no to that temptation. I suppress that desire. There's some peer pressure. I say no to those people, those friends of mine. But I can't put myself at risk of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second thing. And then thirdly, ulama ikram explain, is that there are a few du'as, a few supplications for a person to read. When the temptation of shaitan comes, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when shaitan will whisper into a person's ears, into a person's heart, that break the command of Allah, تَذَكَّرُوا Then a person of iman, immediately he takes heed. He puts brakes, he remembers. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ He remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ulama say the first thing a person should read, whether we read it loudly, whether we read it softly, each person knows that moment, when the temptation comes, the desire is there. Is that a person should read ta'awudh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Oh Allah, I seek your protection. If I have to try and fight shaitan on my own, ash-shaytanu yajri min al-insan majra ad-dam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, shaitan flows through your veins. As your blood is flowing through your veins, shaitan is there. He's within you. You can't fight him, you can't fight yourself. Oh Allah, I can't fight him, I can't do anything. Oh Allah, I'm asking your assistance. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. There are examples that Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi would give. You go and visit some friend of yours. And he has a vicious pit bull that's in his yard. The dog is not chained up, not locked up. And now you need to get to the front door. How am I going to cross? So one is the brave person. He says, I'll risk it. I'll try and dodge that dog and I'll make it. So he says, most likely he'll become the supper for that animal for the night. But an intelligent person, he'll pick up the phone and phone the owner of the dog. That you just tie up your dog, now he can bark how much he wants, he won't affect me. I can walk safely, I'll get into your house, I'll enjoy my afternoon with you. In the same way, they say we should pick up the phone, so to say, and put that emergency call through to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you tie shaitan up. You take care of him for me, so he can't trouble me. He'll attempt, he'll bark, he'll whisper. But Allah's protection is there, he can't do anything. So the first person should read, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek Allah's protection from shaitan. Then secondly, ulama say, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. That, oh Allah, I have believed in you and I believe in all the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And a person should ponder that I have iman. How valuable this iman is. That this iman is the difference between jannat and jahannam. It's the difference between me being fortunate and me being completely wretched. So I have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I believe in all the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Their pure teachings and their ways that they showed to us. How can I break the command of Allah right now? When I have this valuable gift of iman, a person is an ambassador for some president, and he's going somewhere, he's going overseas, he's representing his country. We have sports teams. A person that plays is representing his country. So no matter what he's involved in, but when he wears that shirt, he's got the badge of his team, he's got the flag of his country on his back, how he walks with his head held high. I'm representing my country. I can't do anything untoward. I can't do anything that will bring disgrace to my country. In the same way, I am a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have iman. How can I now break the... How can I stoop so low? How can I do this action? And the third dua, which Hazrat Hakim Sahib would teach, a person should read, Allahumma ja'al wasawisa qalbi. Allahumma ja'al wasawisa qalbi. خشيتك وذكرك اللهم اجعل وساوس قلبي خشيتك وذكرك. That, oh Allah, these whisperings that shaitan is putting into my heart, you turn it into fuel for your remembrance and for your fear. What he would say is, you're using the ammunition of the enemy against him. The more shaitan will whisper into your ear, the more he'll make an attempt, the more he'll try, the more Allah will turn this into fuel for his remembrance, for his fear, for his khashyat, for his worship. So these three guidelines, simple prescription ulama have given. Firstly, once again, when that temptation comes, a person wants to break the command of Allah, then remind ourselves that this dunya is temporary. My life is temporary. I can leave this world at any moment. Malakul Maut could be waiting for me. Like how that famous incident that person mentioned to Hazrat Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that I was in some foreign country. I was all alone in the hotel room. I had some time before I had to depart. And the thought crossed my mind of breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I had committed that act of zina, nobody would have known about it. I was an unknown in that place. Nobody knew my name, nobody knew about me. And I would have been back the next day, my family, my friends wouldn't have known anything. But he says, at that moment in time, when I was about to break the command of Allah, then one bayan of yours flashed through my mind. And just two words that you would mention, what if? What if the angel of death has to find me right now? So our life in this dunya is temporary. We don't know when we'll leave this world. And then secondly, a person ponders over the adab, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Am I prepared for that? Am I prepared for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then I can go ahead and break his command. And then these duas that we have been taught. A person does these things inshallah. Inshallah, with the help and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may not happen overnight. A person will never become a buzruk overnight. That is the qudrat of Allah. Allah gives it to whomsoever He wants. But he's making an effort. He's taking those small steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's trying his best. The day will come, ulama say, even if it's the last day of his life, Allah will record him amongst the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although he may be the last name on the list, but he will be recorded as a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, he'll be raised with the awliya of Allah. It might not happen in his lifetime, but he's making that effort. He's trying, he's pushing himself, he's exerting himself, He doesn't want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will make it happen for him. Allah will make it happen for him. So Allah has given us these nights, respected brothers and elders. Allah has given us these opportunities, these moments where Allah softens our hearts. Where it is easier to fulfill the commands of Allah. Allah makes it easier for us to abstain from His disobedience. Now is the time, ulama say, where we make deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make those deals with Allah. That I know this guna and sin which is eating me up, which is finishing me, blocking my connection with you. It may just be one thing in my life. Whatever it may be, my dressing is not right, my business dealings are not right. Something that is blocking my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make that deal with Allah. Oh Allah, I'm giving it up for your pleasure. To make you happy, you must become happy. Now you give me also. You give me your closeness. You make it easy for me. The dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. Oh Allah, nothing is easy unless you make it easy. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no strength to abstain from guna unless Allah gives us tawfiq. So Allah has given us these moments, respected brothers and elders, these Mubarak nights, where the winds of Allah's rahmat, Allah's hidayat, Allah's maghfirat are blowing. As we mentioned before, Allah is waiting to give, but who is there to take? Have we put ourselves forward? Have we put ourselves there to get the rahmat of Allah, to get the barakat, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah wants to give us. Allah is waiting. Allah is waiting for us to turn to Him. Allah is waiting for us to confess. Allah is waiting for us to show our talab and our desire. It's for us now to put ourselves forward to make that intention. And ulama say, and we'll end on this inshallah, one last point, is that many a times when it comes to guna and sin, a person thinks to himself, if I give up guna and sin, my life will become bland and boring. If I give up that music, what am I going to listen to? Where will the enjoyment be anymore? I give up, I break that illicit relationship I'm involved in. There's no joy in life. There's no enjoyment. I won't be able to sleep at night. My life will become dry. It won't be namaz and masjid and tilawat of Quran. How much I'm going to do of that? So a person becomes afraid. Ulama say, then to still make tawbah. And even if we have to say to Allah, that I don't want to give it up, but still you make me give it up. Be honest with Allah. Allah knows what is within our hearts. Be honest and open with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I don't want to give up this sin. I don't want to give up this life. I've tasted the sweetness, I tasted the enjoyment. But still you make me do it. You take me out of it, you pull me out of it, you give me enjoyment in your obedience. Like the person who has tasted the sweetness of poison, and he thinks that is the sweetest thing on earth. But let someone introduce him to sugar, and to honey, and to sweets, and chocolates. And then he says, I can't understand how I was drinking the poison all this time. The guna, the sin, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the poison. It may be sweet, but that is short-lived. True sweetness, true enjoyment, true joy, person's real life is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq, Allah make it such that we make those deals with Allah, we are able to put ourselves forward to be selected and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله إليك يرجع الأمر كله وعلى نيته وسره اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا O my beloved Allah, Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate Allah, most loving Allah, most kind Allah, most tolerant Allah. O my Allah, we have heard in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that you are afu, you are an embodiment of forgiveness and pardoning, O my Allah. O my Allah, when insan is zalim, you are ghafir, O my Allah. When insan becomes zalum, you become ghafoor. When insan is zallam, you become ghaffar, O my Allah. O my Allah, we have raised our hands before you tonight, O my Allah. In this Mubarak month of Ramadan, we are seated in your house, O my Allah. O my Allah, we are presenting our gunas and sins to you, O my Allah. Our gunas and sins are limited, O my Allah. Your mercy is limitless, O my Allah. O my Allah, show your shan of forgiveness, O my Allah. Forgive our gunas and sins, O my Allah. Cleanse and purify our hearts, O my Allah. O my Allah, forgive every guna and sin of ours from the time of bulugh till now, O my Allah. Sins we committed knowingly, sins we committed unknowingly, sins of the day, sins of the night. Those sins we committed when we thought nobody was watching us, O my Allah. Behind closed doors, O my Allah. But you knew what was happening, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you knew every thought that crossed through our minds, O my Allah. You knew the desires of the heart at that time, O my Allah. O my Allah, you knew the plans and plots that we were making to break your command, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you could have taken away our lives at that time, my Allah. You could have snatched away your bounties and blessings, my Allah. Ya Allah, you could have taken away our eyesight, my Allah. You could have taken away our hands and our legs, my Allah. You could have caused some organs, some limb of ours to stop working, my Allah. But still, ya Allah, you were so kind, my Allah. You were so compassionate, my Allah. You made Sattari of us, my Allah. You gave us your bounties and blessings to use against you, my Allah. You didn't take it away from us, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, still you concealed us, my Allah. You made our sattari. You didn't expose us in front of people, my Allah. Oh my Allah, if we are to be exposed, if our gunas and sins are to come out in the open, who will look at us, my Allah? Our own parents will disown us. Our children will kick us out, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, we ask you to forgive us, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are sorry, my Allah. We are sorry, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, we won't do it again, my Allah. We won't break your command, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have realized our folly and our mistake, oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, we make shukr for all your bounties and blessings, my Allah. Daily, we are drowning in your ni'mas and bounties, my Allah. You've given us our food, our clothing, our cars, our homes, our lives, our family members, our friends. You've given us so many opportunities in deen, oh my Allah. You've given us our masajid and our madaris. You've given us ulama-i kiram, huffaz. Oh my Allah, we make shukr for each and every bounty and blessing of yours, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, increase us in these bounties and blessings. Don't take them away from us, oh my Allah. Give us tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, when the temptation from nafs and shaitan will come, when we feel as though we can't hold back anymore, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, you know how weak we are, my Allah. Ya Allah, you know the dilemma we are in on a daily basis, my Allah. Every step we take, shaitan is waiting for us. Nafs is waiting for us. They're waiting to make us slip and to break your command, my Allah. Ya Allah, at that time you come between us and our hearts, oh my Allah. You come to our rescue, you come to our assistance, O my Allah. Ya Allah, give us that strength of iman that will become a barrier from your disobedience, O my Allah. Give us taqwa within our hearts, O my Allah. Give us clean and pure lives, O my Allah, in your obedience, O my Allah. O my Allah, those gunas and sins that are blocking our relationship with you, even though we don't want to give it up, my Allah, we have tasted the sweetness of it, still, my Allah, you pull us out of it, my Allah. Ya Allah, you pull us out of it. When you make the decision, no one can question you. No one can oppose you. No one can hold back, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, we are begging you, we are pleading with you. Pull us towards you, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, make us yours, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us something within our hearts, my Allah. Ya Allah, for too long our lives are coming out like this. Our lives have become bland and boring, my Allah. Ya Allah, there's no enjoyment in tilawat anymore. There's no enjoyment when we stand before you in salah. Ya Allah, you give us something within our hearts, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us your ishq and your muhabbat, oh my Allah. Grant us your marifat, your recognition, your qurb, your closeness, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we read in the kitabs and we hear from the pious people how they enjoy their ibadat, how they enjoy their dua, how they enjoy their salah. What relationship they must be enjoying with you, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, you can give it to each and every one of us here tonight, oh my Allah. Do
Don't deprive not a single one of us of my Allah. Ya Allah, make the decision of our hidayat, my Allah. Make the decision of our hidayat. Make the decision of our friendship with you, oh my Allah. Oh my beloved Allah. Forgive us, forgive our parents, oh my Allah. Those of us whose parents have left this world, fill their qubur with noor, oh my Allah. Elevate their status, forgive them for their shortcomings and their errors, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, let this dua become a means of their complete maghfirat being made, oh my Allah. Raise them on the day of Qiyamah in the group of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Don't cause any hisab for them, give them entry into Jannah without any reckoning, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, those of us whose parents are still alive, you protect them, oh my Allah. Protect their iman, protect their amal, protect their taqwa. Keep them within your hifazat, with afiyat, sihat and salamat, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, protect our children, my Allah. There are so many challenges, so many temptations out there. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to make those decisions that will be correct for them, oh my Allah. That will bring them closer to you. Accept them for the khidmat of deen in whichever way is best, oh my Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, protect our wives, our family members, our uncles, our aunties, our cousins, our nephews, our nieces, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Allah, all those who have raised their hands to make tawbah, to ask for forgiveness, forgive them, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, throughout the world, wherever people are in pareshani, in difficulty, whatever difficulty it may be, you remove their difficulty, my Allah. Where there are adverse conditions, you change it, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, where there is kufr and shirk, you blow the winds of hidayat and iman, oh my Allah. Where there is iman, you create taqwa in your closeness and qurb, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, protect al-Masjid al-Aqsa, oh my Allah. Give it back to the hands of the Muslims, oh my Allah. Those brothers and sisters of ours who are on the front line, my Allah, they are defending al-Masjid al-Aqsa on our behalf. Ya Allah, you strengthen them, my Allah. Ya Allah, you keep their feet firm and their hearts firm, oh my Allah. You send your unseen assistance to them, oh my Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, protect Haramain Sharifain. Protect Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, oh my Allah. Protect it from bid'at. Protect it from your guna, from sin and disobedience, oh my Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, call us also to visit Haramain Sharifain, my Allah. Ya Allah, our heart desires to be there in Makkah Mukarramah. We will stand in front of the Baytullah. We will make dua at Multazam. We will make tawaf around your house. We will run between Safa and Marwa in your muhabbat and love, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, make the decision to call us also, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, don't deprive anyone, my Allah. Take us over and over again, oh my Allah. Take us to Madinah Munawwara. We can cool our eyes by standing in front of the Rawdah of Rasulullah. Oh my Allah, give us tawfiq to realize that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was our greatest benefactor, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, today we can't read one durood on incense for him, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, make us ma'fu, my Allah. Give us tawfiq to recognize the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Allah, teach us every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us tawfiq to make amal and to spread and teach every sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh my Allah, protect us from all evil, from all harm, from all difficulties, my Allah. Protect us from hijacking, from robberies, from burglaries, from accidents, from sicknesses. Oh my Allah, protect us from all evil and sharr, oh my Allah. Give us abundant goodness, oh my Allah. Give us barakat in our rozi, oh my Allah. Those who can't have children, you give them pious, normal children, oh my Allah. Those who have marriageable age, they are seeking spouses, you find compatible spouses for them, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, all those in any difficulty, all those with any need, any desire, Ya Allah, you come to their assistance and fulfill their desires, oh my Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balaq wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahluh. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.